We will begin the Warren County Radio Bible School today with a Bible question. We're studying about Moses. Now, when Moses fled from Egypt and from the hand of Pharaoh, he fled into what land? It's back in the wilderness, but what is the name of the land where Moses fled? We find the answer in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 15, and we will read that answer to you in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, do you know the answer to the Bible question? Moses was raised as Pharaoh's daughter in Pharaoh's palace, but after he killed an Egyptian and the word got out, Pharaoh sought to slay him. And so Moses fled from Egypt. And where did he flee to? Where did he go? Well, the answer to that is in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 15. Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. Was Midian your answer? If it was, you can give yourself an A in the class today. I'm going to be looking at a Sunday school lesson on the call of Moses that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday schools of July the 18th, 1926. And this Sunday school lesson begins with some geographical notes. The land of Midian was the country in which the Midianites then dwelt. They were the descendants of Midian, one of the sons of Abraham by Keturah, Genesis 25 and verse 1. They were a wandering people, dwelling in no one place long at a time. In Moses' day, they dwelt somewhere near Mount Horeb, for he led the flock to the back of the wilderness and came to the Mount of God in Horeb. This, then, was the land of Midian. Horeb was probably the name of a group of mountain peaks, or the district, Sinai, of that particular one on which God met with Moses, and from which the law would later be given. It is also said that the people stood before Jehovah in Horeb. Moses was on this mountain twice, 40 days each time. Elijah would flee to Horeb and be there for 40 days. And for these reasons, it is called the Mountain of God. Now, here are some helps and hints for the teacher that would be teaching this lesson. In order to understand God's appearance to Moses in the wilderness and Moses' commission to the elders of Israel and to Pharaoh, it's necessary to study the connecting links between the last lesson and this one. After his famous choice of the last lesson, Moses went at once to work, but he went at it in the wrong way. When he saw an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren, he looked this way and that way. And when he saw there was no man, he smote the Egyptian and hid him in the sand, Exodus 2, 11 through 12. For see, suppose that his brethren understood that God, by his hand, was giving them deliverance. But they understood not, according to Acts 7, 25. On the next day, when Moses saw two Hebrews striving together and undertook to settle the difficulty between them, the one who did the wrong, as is usually the case, became angry and said, "Who made thee a prince and judge over us? Thinkest thou to kill me as thou killest that Egyptian?" Thus, Moses, like Jesus, was rejected by his brethren, by those whom he sought to deliver. When it reached the ears of Pharaoh that Moses had slain the Egyptian, Pharaoh sought to kill Moses. It was then Moses forsook Egypt, Not fearing the wrath of the king, Hebrews 11:27, he dwelt in the land of Midian and sat by a well. There it was Moses in gallantry took the part of the daughters of the priest of Midian against the shepherds in watering their flocks, and was invited to the priest's home, and finally became the husband of Zipporah, the daughter of the priest. This priest was called Reuel in Exodus 2 and verse 18, the Kenite in Judges 1 and verse 16, and also Jethro. Under this marriage were born two sons, Gershom and Eliezer. Gershom means a stranger or expulsion, because he said he was a foreigner in a foreign land. Eliezer means God, my help is a help, because God had helped him. For 40 years, Moses was in the wilderness. It looked as if the reward would not come, but he endured as seeing him who is invisible. In the course of these 40 years, Moses was in the wilderness. The king of Egypt died, but he was succeeded by another, who made the burdens of the Israelites heavier. They sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came unto God by reason of the bondage. The nature and cruelty of the bondage are given in Exodus chapter 1, 11 through 22. God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. At the beginning of this period of 40 years, when Moses slew the Egyptian, he was not prepared to act as the deliverer and lawgiver of his people. He must be trained yet 40 years, this time as a shepherd in the solitude of the desert. Besides, the iniquity of the Amorites was not yet full, according to Genesis 15:16, and the children of Israel were not ready for deliverance. I like to think about Moses as being trained 40 years in the palaces of Pharaoh, being trained to lead men, and then being trained 40 years in the backside of the desert, and being trained to have the humility to follow God. And with this combined training of being able to lead men and follow God, Moses was prepared for the last 40 years of his life, as he led the children of Israel out of Egypt, gave them the law, and brought them into the promised land. Now let me read to you Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, and I want you to note what the reading says about the angel of God's presence. Here we are in Exodus chapter 3, where it says, "Now Moses was keeping the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the backside of the wilderness. And it came to the mountain of God unto Horeb, and the angel of Jehovah appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside now and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when Jehovah saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I'm the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Egypt, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And Jehovah said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people that are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, and I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of that land into a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Amorite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. And now behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me. Moreover, I've seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Did you catch that word about the angel of Jehovah? It says the angel of Jehovah appeared unto Moses. This was the angel of God's presence. So he was their Savior. And all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. Isaiah 63, verses 8 and 9. When the angel of Jehovah appeared to Hagar, she called his name, "Thou art the God that seeth," Genesis chapter 16. In blessing Joseph's sons, Jacob said, "The angel who hath redeemed me from all evil bless the lads," Genesis 48:16. This angel brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them, Exodus chapter 14 and verse 19. God promised that this angel would guide them through the wilderness even to the land of Egypt, saying, "I send an angel before thee, for my name is in him. My angel shall go before thee," Exodus 23:20-23. This angel is called God's presence. "My presence shall be with thee," Exodus 33:14. God also said this angel would drive out the inhabitants of Canaan, Exodus 33 and verse 2. This angel stood before Joshua with a drawn sword, saying, "As the prince of the host of Jehovah am I now come," in Joshua chapter 5. And verse 4 says God spoke to Moses, and verse 14 gives his name. God spoke through the angel of his presence, and God's name was in him. Who was this angel of God's presence? Was it not Christ before he made flesh and dwelt among us? Malachi 3 and verse 1 says, "The Lord whom ye seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger," that is the angel, "of his covenant, whom ye desire, behold, he cometh, saith Jehovah of hosts." This angel of the covenant refers to Christ. And there was a burning bush. Now, why the burning bush? The angel appeared to Moses in a flame of fire in a bush, Acts 7 and verse 30. God was a pillar of fire by night to the children of Israel, Exodus 14:24. God spoke to the children of Israel in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, Deuteronomy 4 and verse 15. We have no way of ascertaining what kind of bush this was. That it was not consumed by the flame was the wonder which attracted Moses' attention. We do not know that Jehovah intended to teach anything by this fact. Israel passed through fiery trials and was not consumed. And the Church of Christ has done so at different times. But this bush only reminds us of these facts. Some make this fire a symbol of God, and at the same time a symbol of fiery trials. The purpose of this burning bush was to attract the attention of Moses. Moses turned aside to ascertain why the bush was not consumed. And Moses' attention had been gained. God called to him out of the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." He was at once convinced of the presence of God, and in submission cried, "Here am I." He was at the post of duty. People who have something to do, know how to do it, and are busy, are the one God calls to do greater work. God never calls idlers. There's no places for drones in his work. Those who perform faithfully their present duties are the ones who are prepared and called to broader fields and greater work. One who cannot feed a flock of sheep cannot take care of God's people. One who does not rule well his own house is unfit to take the oversight of the church. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5, where we're going to see that Moses was overawed by God's presence. In fact, Jehovah directed Moses to put off his shoes because he was on holy ground. And we'll continue this in our next class.